Shoot, forgot that joke there.
That was good enough. The stapler's better than the gavel. We'll call the Legislative Procedures and Arrangements Committee to order, and John will take the roll.
Representatives Carlson.
Here.
Belter.
Here.
Mock.
Here.
Onstead.
Here.
Vigasaw.
Here.
Senators Wardner.
Here.
Erbily.
Here.
Heckman.
Here.
Holmberg.
Here.
Klein.
Here.
Schneider.
Here.
Perfect.
You had a copy of the minutes of the last meeting. Without any corrections or additions, I'd take a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
The minutes are approved. We'll start right in with our agenda, and it's an invitation to bid for the photography services.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, as you recall at the last meeting, you approved the specifications for the photography bid that goes out every year for your photos taken during the organizational session. We received six bids. Two were non-conforming bids. They didn't include sample photographs, as was directed in the specifications. The bids ranged from $3,900 to $84,000. There were actually three bids that were in the same neighborhood, I guess. Two were quite a ways further out, other than that, besides that $84,000 one. The low bid was Glaser Photography from Bismarck. $84,000, Mr. Chairman.
The low bid was $3,900.
There's a slight spread there. Glaser Photography was the low bid at $3,900. There was a separate additional portion where they provide the 11 by 14 wood frames option for you. They were they bid $25 for the frames a piece. The second lowest bid was Anderson Photography, who you contracted with last interim or last session. Their bid was $4,000 and the frames $15 per frame. And then the other bid in the neighborhood was Gemar Photography at $49.95 and the frames at $100, so quite a difference there. So the first two, Glosser and Anderson, were within $100 of each other. You have some degree of experience with both. I do have copies of the photos that they submitted as samples if you'd like to take a look at those. But I think those are the two that are within the, you know, range of consideration.
Thoughts? We did go away from Anderson 1 year. Who had that the 1 year Anderson did not have it?
It was Glaser.
Glaser? So they're within $100 of each other, but if you're buying a frame, then there's $10 difference on the frames. I don't know how many people buy the frames. Or if they buy their own, I'm not familiar with that. Speaking from experience, I can just tell you that on an Anderson site, if you call him up and need another proof or picture, he's been way more than accommodating as far as getting those that are camera ready or print ready for newspapers or brochures or whatever else. So from that perspective, he's been really good to work with. At
are you
least.
Ready for a motion?
Yes, I am.
I would move because we
had quite good experience with Anderson. I would move that we accept the bid from Anderson at $4,000.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? If no discussion, we'll take a vote. Got you off guard, didn't I?
You sure did, Mr. Chairman. Representatives Carlson?
Yes.
Belter?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Onstead?
Yes.
Vigasaw?
Yes.
Senators Wardner?
Yes.
Erbily?
Yes.
Heckman?
Yes.
Holmberg?
Yes.
Klein?
Aye.
Schneider?
Yes.
Motion carried, Mr. Chairman.
Next one is the bid on the Secretarial Services, Telephone Messenger, Bill and German Room Services.
Again, Mr. Chairman, at the last meeting you approved the solicitation for the bids. We received during the previous session, you received one bid and accepted that. This time, you received three bids. Ah, thank you. And I need more room, Mr. Chairman. The bids that were received this time were labor match from Bismarck. The proposal is for 3.5 employees for 75 legislative days, and the bid asks for a per day estimate or cost. It also asks for the 14 days leading up to the session for a one employee during those days, and a bid for that. The bid also asked each of the bidders to provide a estimate of the cost that they pay for the one on-site supervisor and for the other employees. Each of the bids included on the supervisor pay $15. That was the across-the-board decision for each of them. The on-site employees was $14.50, so there's no difference there. The bid from Labor Match for the 75 legislative days for 3.5 employees was $510.88 a day, with the one employee for 14 days pre-session at $144.48. Dakota Staffing, also from town here, bid $564.20 for the 3.5 employees per day, and $165.20 for the one employee pre-session per day. Sverion, who you worked with the previous two sessions, bid $585.72 per day, and for the 14 days, $164.72. As far as we also ask them to address, you know, adjustments if they need to go down, and if they find that they have too many employees or whatever, they would, Dakota Staffing said they would reduce $19.95 per hour if they reduced employees. The other two basically said they would charge for the services provided. So it would be a determination if they cut employees, they would reduce the cost appropriately in their determination. Mr. Chairman, I do have, again, if you would like to see any of the documents that were submitted, I'd be happy to pass that around, the bidding packages.
What was the name of the first company?
Labor Match.
Anybody familiar with Labor Match? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Berenson, are any of these new startup companies, or are these all well vetted and well, you know, been in the market for a while?
Senator Heckerman, Mr. Chairman, we did invite representatives of each of the companies here that could probably answer those questions. I believe Dakota Staffing's web page indicate they've been in business since 2007. Labor Match, I'm not, they didn't have as extensive of a web page to find much information. But, Mr. Chairman, I did invite representatives of each of the bidders here if you have specific questions that they could answer.
Any questions for those people?
Mr. Chairman, could we have John repeat the Labor Match's bid again per day?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wardner, Labor Match was $510.88 per day, and $144.48 per day during the 14 days previous.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
The difference between the high and low bid is what, $6,000, something like that?
$5,500 about.
Okay.
I just have a question. Is the representative from Labor Match here? It was a low bid. Is there somebody here from Labor Match? Dakota Staffing. I guess I have the same question for, Experian has obviously done this before. And this is pretty important part that we, that these things function smoothly for us. And just give us a little, come to the podium and just tell us a little bit about your company and how you would handle this situation and how you envision this getting done.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
And if you did,
thank you.
Give us your name as well.
I'm Jim Fettig with Dakota Staffing Solutions. I've actually been in the staffing business for about 23 years, along with my partners for about the same amount of time. We came from different staffing companies and opened up our company in 2007. We have probably more experience than anybody in the market as far as in the staffing industry. You know, we're familiar with these types of projects. We've done these before. We have, you can see on our reference list, that we have some pretty large customers. Not sure what else I can tell you about this. We work with the state of North Dakota, various agencies, have been for many years. So we're familiar with how the state works.
Okay. Any questions, committee members? Thank you, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between those two is how much? $20 a day.
Yep, 21.
From this one to this one.
Well, from 55 between Labor Match and him.
Comments, thoughts?
Labor Match.
Mr. Chairman, John, everybody has the same number of employees, basically, and they're all using the $15 and $14.50, is that
Mr.
correct?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Onsett, that's correct.
Okay.
Anybody have an idea or a motion here? We need to pick someone to provide our services. We've had Sverion before. They are the high bidder. Labor Match is the lowest. They're not here. They have... send some information. John, any comments, sir?
Well, Mr. Chairman, the Mr. Fettig mentioned references. I can go through that with you if you'd like.
Just give us a few, that would help.
Yeah. The references that he submitted, Hess Corporation Administrative Services, Falkirk Mine, and the court system, with respect to staffing of court clerks. There were no references submitted by Labor Match. This was their bid. And Sverion submitted references, including the Secretary of State, Department of Human Services, and Basin Electric.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'll break the ice here. This is a little bit difficult because we don't know a lot of information, but I guess I'm going to make a motion or move that we hire Dakota Staffing.
We have a motion and a second for Dakota Staffing. Any further discussion? Not, we'll take the roll.
Thank you. Representative Carlson?
Yes.
Belter?
Yes.
Mock?
Here, yes. And here.
Onsted?
Yes.
Vigasaw?
Yes.
Senators Wardner?
Yes.
Urban?
That talk about various compensation levels in all the states and different expense reimbursements and those kind of things. So that's there for your information. Unless you have any questions, I'm not planning to go into any detail on that. The next one, 9471. This is a history of legislative compensation going back, the statutory provisions relating to that, and different legislative compensation amounts on page 4 shows a history of that. And then I just wanted to touch on a couple things on page 7. This was our the actual expenditures for the 2013-15 biennium and for the 2015 legislative session. Toward the bottom of page 7, you can see the total 2015 legislative session costs were $6.2 million. Other costs of $6.8 million for the biennium for a total of a little over $13 million. The cost per day, we often get questions about that. The 2015 session was 79 legislative days during the regular session plus the 3 organizational session days for a total of 82. So the cost per day was about $76,000 per day. If you look at the number of calendar days, it was about $51,000. Then on the very back page is the appropriation for this upcoming session. I just have to make one correction. If you'll notice for the health insurance amounts, those couple items didn't get updated. It's instead of 982, it's 1,130 per month for 133 legislators for health insurance. But a total of 15.7 million is
what was that number again?
$1,130 per month and 133 legislators.
What is 16% increase being proposed?
Right. Well, 17.4 is the actual amount, yeah. So anyway, that's the budget for this next session. There's no questions on that. The next document, legislative compensation increases compared to inflation. This is document 9470. Again, talks about the history of legislative compensation. If you turn to the appendix on the back, this is where I wanted to just touch on a couple of items. This goes back to 1981, what legislative compensation levels were. At that time, the first 3 columns on the left show actual compensation rates for legislators going back that far, the interim compensation amounts, the session daily rate, and then the monthly compensation amounts. Then in the middle section of the memo are inflationary increases during that same time period and what legislative compensation would be now adjusted for inflation. So if you look at for 2016 at the bottom, the daily interim rate is $177. If you compare that to what it would be based on inflation, it would be $163. The daily session rate is $177. And now that would be $235 based on inflation. And the monthly compensation is $495. Based on inflation, it would be $471. And on the far right, it does the same thing, comparing to state employee salary increases during that same time period. And there you can see the interim rate would be basically $178. The daily rate during session would be $256. And the monthly compensation rate would be $511. So again, just for comparative information, based on what state employees receive for increases during that time frame and then as compared to inflation. So again, just for your information on that.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Going back in recent times, we have paralleled what the state employees got. What was the last time where I'm sure it's in here, where the legislature had a differential pay change from state employees?
Mr. Chairman, I believe it was 2005-07, because I know since 07 it's always been the same as state employees, so in 2005 it would have been something different. Okay, Mr. Chairman, then the last memo, 9469, the one page. Again, this just talks about what the responsibilities of the committee are. The current compensation level is just to review again. Monthly pay is right now $495 a month. Leaders get an additional $355 a month. Daily session pay and daily interim pay is both at $177. Session lodging expenses for this upcoming session will be $1,682 per month. The daily reimbursement is $80.10. Mileage expense right now is 54 cents a mile. Interim meals are $35 per day, and an additional daily compensation for committee chairmen and leaders is ranges from $5 to $15. So then at the bottom, potential funding and statutory changes for this, as far as what this committee needs to recommend. Again, since 07, the legislative changes have always mirrored what state employees have gotten. And since 2011, when this committee first started making recommendations, the recommendation has been that it be the same as state employee salary increases. The difficulty is we don't know what that amount is going to be till during the session. We don't know what the governor will be including for his recommendation. So, you know, besides making the recommendation, we also need to know what amount we should include in our budget request to submit to the legislature. So in the bottom paragraph, we indicate that, you know, one option would be to provide a one and a one in our budget request. And you can see if you turn to the back page, you can see then what that amount, the, how those amounts would be adjusted. The monthly pay would go from 495 to 500 to 505. Daily pay from 177 to 179 to 181, and then additional pay for leaders from 355 to 359 to 363. And the total impact for both the assembly and the council budget for those adjustments would be about $107,000. So again, Mr. Chairman, if you'd want to go to a two and a two, that would just, you know, double this amount, you know, and or a one, just a 1%. The State Employee Compensation Commission did meet last week and made a recommendation. I know Senator Klein was on that committee. I don't know if you want to hear what that committee had recommended, but.
We'd love to hear from Senator Klein.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the committee met last week after a lot of discussion and looking at a lot of charts and looking at a lot of numbers. The first recommendation was to maintain the health care that we currently provide for all the employees. Then the second recommendation went to, first the motion was a one and a one, which failed. Then at the end of the day, the committee passed a two and a two, which is the recommendation that will go on to the governor.
With full health?
With full health. The two and the two will, let's see, full health amounts to 26 million plus other costs. The two and two is 41 million, I believe, at the end of the next biennium. But the one and one was around 12 million, I believe. 12 and then cost to continue was 24, whatever. But the two and the two is the number that's moving on to the governor. And I have a steak dinner that it won't be a two and a two.
So, Mr. Chairman, that's all
my
I have.
Quick, my quick math tells me that's about $65 million increase right there between the two.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator,
I would hope that when, if no matter what we do, we consider the language that we've had since 2012, which is that if we were to pass the one and the one and the governor comes in at zero and zero, that we would immediately adjust to the zero and zero, the same number that is in the executive budget. I think that's what we've seen overall with the judiciary has the same issue. They have to put down a number and they don't know what they're trying to match. So I believe we call them and say, what are you doing? And they call us and say, what are you doing? I think if we went zero and zero, besides the self-flagellation excitement, you end up with giving away $106,000 for the governor to spend because it wouldn't be in our budget. It gives us perhaps some flexibility in dealing with the executive budget because we put in ours and they can't touch it. So I'm not making a motion. I think we need some discussion.
Well, I think it's a moving target just because whatever, I like the policy we've had that we've tied ours to the same level that the state employees are going to get. I think it's taken a lot of the fight out of the issue, over the years, we'd say, why would we have more or less than they've got, they've received. So Alan just needs a number from a budgeting perspective so he knows what to put in for the legislative council and legislative management for our budgets as to what those raises will be. And I think if I'm hearing him right, his recommendation would have been at this time a 1-1. And we'll just have to adjust it if things are adjusted along the line. And
if you want a motion, I will make the motion, the 1-1 with okay. the adjustment.
Am I reading correctly? That would be your recommendation at this point in time?
Right, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. And I have a motion from Senator Holmberg for 1-1 to be included in the budget, all knowing full well that this is a moving target. And the same as what's being proposed out of the employee benefits or whatever committee you were on there, the salary compensation thing. Is there a second to that?
Second.
We have a second from Senator Klein. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Snyder.
I'm going to be that guy, make myself the most unpopular person in the room to the extent that I don't hold that title already. But I do worry. I think your point, Senator Holmberg, about the budget and kind of controlling our own fate here, very well made. I don't think anybody here is overpaid for what they do in the legislature. But I just think, you know, any sort of pay raise at this point, it's going to send the wrong message. And so for that reason, I'll be voting no, and I'll take the grief for it.
Any other discussion? Representative Bigassaw.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is Senator Holmberg's motion going to include the language that it will be adjusted to what the executive recommendation is?
That would be a key yes. part of that, I think, is that we end back with existing policy we've had before of tying it to what it was for the public employees. I'm assuming mm-hmm. that's like
that was part of the okay. motion.
Mr. Chairman, and that was in our committee. Pam Sharp serves as the chairman in that. She spent a lot of time trying to explain this moving target issue and where to be and not knowing where to be. And that's where the proposal with the 1-1 was, just trying to understand that we could be in really tough situation, but yet trying to move something forward to have something to work with. So that was kind of what we thought as we listened to that, but there were some that thought it wasn't enough. But that's just the way that process works. But listening to her is where a lot of us just said, you know, you've got a moving target. She supported the 1-1. So we kind of thought that that's probably the direction we need to go, but with her expertise.
Anywhere where it talks about the percentages in the previous three bienniums? The percentages, because my recollection is it would be fives and fives, fours and fours, threes and threes.
Right, Mr.
Full health and all these things. And at the same time, we were adjusting many salary ranges to the midpoint ranges. So we have done a tremendous amount in the last four bienniums to get those midpoints up, because they said we were never competitive with a booming economy. And we spent millions and millions of dollars to make sure that we did that. So I'm going to vote for the motion. But on the other hand, maybe the commission should have come out at 0-0 like Senator Snyder recommends in these economic times. Because it isn't that we haven't been beefing those salaries up tremendously in the last four bienniums. I mean, we're getting no credit for the fact that during good times, we definitely pumped the salaries and the ranges, and now when things are tighter, we got to take a look at it. And a businessman would have to do that. But, I'll support it, but on the other hand, when they come out with that, we're kind of in a box. You know, when the committee comes out with those numbers, it isn't like they're leaving us a whole lot of options here. Have you got those, Al, what they were?
Yeah, if you looked on the memo 9470, on the back page of the appendix. Oh, really?
Oh. Yeah, I don't. I was due before we given numbers, and I couldn't find them. But
yeah, but there is an attachment.
Oh.
What would it be? I'll read them to us in the last three by eight and four by eight.
Donovan's got it, I guess.
And I think it's important to look where we've come from and how we've adjusted those midpoints and ranges along the line.
Yeah, in 2011, it was a 3% per year increase.
Thanks, gentlemen. And we also put minimums on there, did we not?
Here it is. I don't believe so during that this time frame, but there would have been additional market equity for state employees, but that doesn't get covered in this area. But so in 2011 was a 3 and a 3. 2013 was a 3 and a 3. Let's see, 2015, I believe, was the legislative compensation was 3% each year, so that would have been the same as state.
Look at 04 and 05 was 4%. 10 and 11 was 5. 9 and 10, right. 5%. I mean, you're looking at some pretty good increases over time here. So that was just my point, is that when things are tighter, we have to take a good hard look at this. And when, I mean, at what point in time can we not afford $1,130 mm-hmm. plus another 16% on full health insurance? At what point in time would an employer look at that? I think that needs to be a point of discussion when we get to the session.
Mr. Chairman, a key point you made is that also in this same bucket where we're taking the money from for this compensation is the health insurance. And we may end up, depending upon what the numbers are like, of having to make a choice. Do we put our limited resources into the continuation of the health insurance program, or do we make some changes there? I noticed that the Compensation Commission recommended not making any changes in that particular one. But again, as Alan said, we're not setting the actual number. That's up to the legislature. All we're doing is putting together a budget so that they have some numbers to put down.
Yep.
And move the process forward. And then how Senate Bill 1001 will hit the fan in January.
So the recommendation, the motion was 1 and 1, with the language also that we would tie it to whatever it ends up as the other compensation. But for number's sake, that's what he'd have in his budget. Any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Just a question. We're doing this for the budget, and this is going to go to the governor, and he's going to put the budget, I guess, these numbers, and that's the situation is, I think, really discussion. Are we, whatever we agree with, is that the template that goes back that public employees would probably be considering? And then the third thing, the main point is legislative salaries they really should be treated differently than public employees, because they're full-time people at that point, and the majority of legislators have other incomes elsewhere. It just seems like we could come in with a non-recommendation, just be at the zero and let it go with that. I mean, it seems like we're on the decision-making end to determine what public employees are going to be at, and I just assume stay out of that fray and let that recommendation go, and we just follow where we're at.
Mr. Chairman, one could argue that we could go back to the days of, as I like to call it, the self-flagellation, see who could come in with the lowest common denominator for legislators over the past few years. At least since 2005, we've stayed kind of away from that infighting over that particular issue, and just said, you know, what we do for them, we do for us. We don't do more, we don't do less. But we don't know what the do is yet, and that's our problem.
Well, I view this as just more than anything giving Alan some guidelines so that he can prepare a recommendation, and that's all it is at this point in time. So he needs a number in there, and I think the 1 and the 1 is reasonable, especially when you're probably going to see the 2 and 2 in full health tomorrow, the governor's budget across the board, which is, I would like to think it wasn't, but I have no idea. So,
but we still get the final say on that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's propose and dispose. There's two different parts to that. Any other discussion? We'll take the roll.
Representatives Carlson?
Yes.
Belter?
Yes.
Mock?
No.
Onstead?
No.
Vigasa?
Yes.
Senators Wardner?
Yes.
Herbley?
Yes.
Heckman?
No.
Holmberg?
Aye.
Klein?
Aye.
Schneider?
No.
Motion carried.
Okay. Anything else you need from us, Al? All right, now we're going to go discuss the 2017 legislative session arrangements. We'll start out with the organizational session agenda.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, you should have in your pile of paper the proposed agenda for the organizational session. This is a biennial appearance before you, just to give you an idea of the schedule for the organizational session. Basically the same as what it has been for the last several organizational sessions. You begin on Monday, December 5th this year, through the morning of Wednesday, December 7th. The first item is a new legislators meeting where we provide some background for them. The actual business begins. You convene at 1 p.m. on Monday. Go through your regular order of business as you always have during organizational sessions. One of the items I guess I'd like to point out is, in particular, is on here is the laptop and tablet computer training sessions that they've always been included, or have been included in the last few interims on the agenda. There's also a separate document that breaks that out, so it's a little easier to follow, and that I think is the next item on the agenda, but the separate document's a little clearer and easier to follow. So, Mr. Chairman, unless there are any questions, I'll stop here.
I guess the question would be, if all of us have been here before, any changes from the way we've done business in our organizational session? If we were just highlighting something in here, is there anything different than we normally have done in the past?
Mr. Chairman, no, there is nothing out of the ordinary from the previous sessions. We did make a few little minor tweaks on a little bit of the timing and updated some of the meeting rooms. The Senate majority, I understand, meets in the harvest room. They were listed as some other room in the past. I think it was Fort Totten room. And then some of the new legislator training on the first item, that had been split up into two sessions in the past. We on the agenda, this timing was the same. We just moved it into one item on this agenda. But the actual schedule of the org session is essentially the same as what was done in previous sessions.
Any comments, questions?
Mr. Chairman, as I understand it, the affiliated organizations that are making a presentation to the legislators, they get notified that there is a meeting if they want to have a representative come in and present, you know, from NCSL if, you know, what's her name wants to come. I mean, they get that information, is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Holmberg, yes, we will notify them of their opportunity to visit with you or the new legislators.
CSG normally comes, don't they?
They have, yes.
Yeah, Reverend Mock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So as I'm looking at this, and I see on the first page we have under the 1 p.m. order of business where the newly elected members of both the House and the Senate are sworn in. And this has just come up in previous sessions. That's a significant opportunity. It's a significant moment when members are elected to represent their districts, and they oftentimes bring friends and family to come in and observe that moment. But I've noticed that we have not provided an opportunity for those members to take photos with the Chief Justice and family after they've made that oath. In fact, they make the oath standing at their desk in a group of, you know, 94 in the House and 47 in the Senate. Has this body ever considered, especially with the new media room, having an opportunity for the Chief Justice and newly sworn-in members to take photos just to commemorate the moment. And I raised that to this committee. There's a wealth of experience here. I don't know if that's something that's been done in the past, but it certainly would be something for us to afford to our members as a way of kind of commemorating the moment.
I suppose we could ask the Chief Justice if after the session he would go down there for photos for these folks. I mean, that'd be the easiest way to handle that because really, otherwise it's pretty disruptive.
Right. And looking at the calendar, I mean, it wouldn't be, and I don't know if we make that available even in the morning. They're about to be sworn in. It certainly doesn't have to happen any time afterwards. But I don't know if that media room is being used.
We could reach out to him and ask him if he'd be willing to do that. I would guess his answer would be yes.
I would imagine so.
I would think that he would want to do that.
I imagine the Chief Justice sees it as just as much of a significant moment as the members would.
I have no trouble doing that. All we'd have to do is reach out to him and ask. I think that would be a... And we can always find a time where that would work that doesn't have to be on this schedule.
True.
So, John, you'll do that?
Yes, we will, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Appreciate that.
Any other comments on the agenda for the organizational session? Do you need a motion to approve this, John?
Mr. Chairman, that would be preferable.
Okay. We have a motion by Representative Ingersoll, a second by Representative Mock. Any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman, just a clarification. In the event that we do add that to the schedule, is the motion with the understanding that that would be included in the schedule, that the room would be available for members to take those photos? I would say contingent upon Mr. Bjornson's conversation with the Chief Justice Office.
Yeah, at that point in time, there should not be a lot going on down there.
Right.
At least I would hope not.
I'm just thinking we'd want to make sure that it's noted on our calendar as members receive that, if that's the change, that if it is approved and accommodated.
If you'll agree to do that, I will find a spot for that to fit in.
We'll work it in,
okay.
Representative Mock.
Just want to make sure that was in the motion.
Okay, that Representative Vigasas? All right.
Well, Mr. Chairman, could this motion also include approval of the computer training sessions, being that's part of... this, it's a separate document, but
yep.
Okay.
But it's listed on here.
It's listed on here. Yep.
So this is just a more detailed version of it. I would assume that because on this, yes, it's part of that.
All right. Thank you. Representatives Carlson?
Yes.
Felter?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Onstead?
Yes.
Senators Wardner?
Yes.
Herbele?
Yes.
Heckerman?
Yes.
Holmberg?
Yes.
Klein?
Aye.
Schneider?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carried.
Next one is legislative employee training schedule.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that is also in your pile of papers. Again, this is a regular item that comes before you before the session. Our staff works with the various employees of the assembly prior to the regular session to train them on their duties. And this schedule is... Again, much like the previous schedules, the one that I think main difference is we typically bring the interns in a little earlier, but because of the holiday, we're not going to bring them in until the 2nd of January for a one-day training, and that's all we ever give them is one day. We're just going to condense it into a shorter period. Our staff will work with each of the various groups of employees, committee clerks. So I guess it's important that they're selected in time to be aware of this process and to be able to commit to being available during those times. The schedule's pretty firm on the exact times that they'll be needed, and again, it's much like it has been in the past. The only differences have been some of the descriptive items as far as what they're being trained in due to changes in some of our systems and things like that.
Well, most of us don't get involved at all in this, but I suppose we need a schedule for them, so... You want a motion to approve this schedule?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman.
And motion for the
second.
Motion by Senator Herbele, second by Senator Klein. Any further discussion? looks to me like pretty well organized to get those people trained up and running. So take the vote.
Representatives Carlson?
Yes.
Belter?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Onstead?
Yes.
Vigasaw?
Yes.
Senators Wardner?
Yes.
Herbley?
Yes.
Heckman?
Yes.
Holmberg?
Yes.
Klein?
Aye.
Schneider?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Chairman, just one question on the UND Law School and those folks coming down and Legislative Council. We're all squared away with that, and we made the arrangements there. And so the compensation package or whatever we have to do, is it, are we all squared away with that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, Representative Onstead, yes, we are. The Law School put together a proposal that basically was able to get the amount close to what you had approved for them, and it's kind of couched in the terms of various expense reimbursements, so it doesn't go afoul of the ABA's guidance memo that they provided. So we're good.
So we're not going to have that. One time, I remember that point, they were deciding whether or not they could even be compensated.
Right, right. So they're not being compensated. They're getting expense reimbursement for the difference between their housing in Grand Forks and here, meals and other travel expenses that are legitimately incurred, but will actually get them to pretty close to the level that you had approved.
It's kind of important that we have those folks. And we didn't need it. I don't know if you got involved in that at all, that, but Senator Schneider, but...
I haven't gotten involved, but I completely agree that they're absolutely critical.
No, we got to have that. All right, did we vote on that? Yes.
Yes, you did. So we're to the two individuals.
Hiring two individuals to screen legislative employee applications.
Mr. Chairman, in the past, you've authorized a member of the Senate and a member of the House to screen the employee applications prior to the session, and I think one of those members may be sitting in the back of the room from the previous session. I believe Senator Dever and Representative Martinson have done it in the past.
And Representative Martinson will do it again for the House. I have to tell him.
And I believe Senator Dever will be more than willing to help out. Does a great job.
Well, I can squirm out of that one out if he did that. So we don't have to, how do you want to handle this? If we just authorized them, we don't need to vote on that.
Let's do a quick vote, Mr. Chairman.
Well, all right, it would be Senator Dever and Representative Martinson. I need a motion to that effect.
So moved.
Representative Vigasaw, is there a second?
Klein.
Second.
Senator Dever?
Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm a little confused with the agenda item. Isn't that Renee and was it Marilyn last time, I think, that you're talking about here, hiring two people in advance of the session?
Mr. Chairman,
or should
Senator
I have been paid?
Renee and Marlis, I think,
Marlis.
Worked with, I know Marlis worked with Representative Martinson. I'm not sure how you and Renee did it, mm-hmm. but you were designated as the legislator that was, I think, probably oversaw Renee, as I understand.
Or vice versa.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Senator Dever, the buck stops with you.
Okay. Well, and Mr. Chairman, if I might, one concern that I would have is, my understanding is that this committee sets compensation for employees, and last time we made some further adjustments beyond that. I would prefer that not to have that latitude, but to just follow what this committee comes up with.
And I don't remember the circumstances, but we did have to make a couple adjustments along the way.
Yeah, I think it was a challenge finding employees last time. So
we're going to authorize you and Representative Martinson, and however it works behind the scenes with the other two is...
Mr. Chairman,
yeah.
And Senator, you can, we were short of people, and we struggled right to the end there, and even we got, I think we even got started in looking for that. When do they start the application process? Where's the applications on Legislative Council website? Is it through legislators themselves giving recommendations, or where are we at with it? How does that process actually work?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Onstead, we're receiving applications right now in the office. Is it on our web page, or it is on our web page, I'm being told. So, yes.
And Mr. Chairman, we start the screening process after the election and try to have it accomplished by the organizational session.
But right now they can already apply. There's already a notice for who employees want it.
Yeah, and as far as recommendations by legislators.
Do you do anything in the paper or on the news? Or
I think that's legislative.
If we're having a shortage of people, we've got to somehow figure out how to get the word out that people can apply.
And Mr. Chairman, one thing that's useful to us is if committee chairs had an employee in the last session that they liked, that they recommend that they come back. Over time, also, some committee chairs want to bring somebody from home, and they're welcome to do that.
Okay. I have a motion, and Senator Dever, Representative Martinson will take the roll.
Representative Carlson?
Yes.
Belter?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Onstead?
Yes.
Bigassaw?
Yes.
Senators Wardner?
Yes.
Herberle?
Yes.
Heckerman?
Yes.
Holmberg?
Aye.
Klein?
Aye.
Schneider?
Aye.
Motion carried.
All right, legislative printing.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Steckler, with the assistance of Mr. Forrester, will briefly review our outside printing contract provisions and the printing done by the state as well.
Chairman, members of the committee, Jason Stecker, Legislative Council. What I'm going to briefly do here is just kind of go through some of our session printing costs and then at the end maybe ask for
some recommendations. While I'm doing this, Mr. Forrester is actually going to be just clicking around our website, because every one of these printed products that we pay for either through the contract printer or through central services is available on our website with one small exception, and I'll get to that in a little bit. But as you can see, bills and resolutions in 2013, we did 165 copies, and it was basically 4.5 cents per page. Daily journals, 150, and that was 2.8. And then journal index was 200 copies. You can see in the far right there the number of documents that we were actually throwing away at the end of each session. 2015, we decreased the bill and resolutions by 65, we decreased the daily journals by 40, and then the journal index, which every single legislator actually receives, but I don't really think a lot of people use that index. Some of them probably take them home because they don't want to hurt our feelings, but as you can tell, a lot of them are left on the desks when you come in for that committee meeting. It just maybe is a printed product that we could look at in the future, maybe not including. The interesting part about this is we decrease the number of bills and resolutions, but the cost of the printing didn't go down. Really, the contract printer has set costs. Most of these people hire three individuals to come in the middle of the night and actually do the printing for us. So we're really not seem to be saving any money on the contract printer. Excuse me. On the central duplicating side, the bill status reports, which is probably the only document that most of you don't see, the only thing it really does is it go opposed to leaders, the kiosk, our library, a few in our staff. Really what it is, it's bills introduced by representatives, bills introduced by senators, major topic index, and bill status. Basically, that's really all it includes. That is not on our website. It is available in SharePoint, and then other agencies that request it have access to it from there. As you can tell, in 2013, we had 21 copies, and in 2015, we had 17 copies, so we basically decreased. The committee hearing schedules, there's 1,000 of each one of those printed each week. And sometimes we run out, sometimes there's plenty of them left. What is really difficult there is agencies come to our bill and journal room, grab anywhere between 20, 30 to 40 of each one of these, take them back and distribute amongst their agency. So even though it is available on our website, the exact same format, what we're doing is printing for them. And then the most frustrating part is if you go down and look and the garbage is downstairs, that person that picks them up walks away, looks through them and says, there's nothing for our agency, and they throw them in the garbage. So as you can tell, we're decreasing, and the trend is definitely for people to start doing and looking at all this stuff electronically, online, printing on demand. And the whole intent of bringing this up was to look at, continue to decrease our printed product, decrease the amount of paper that we throw away, and if needed, print more on demand in the bill and journal room. Well, why is that important? Well, really, we're printing for agencies. Yes, I know it's all the state cost, but really what we're doing is we're printing for them, and then they're throwing it away. A couple of options is no longer provide those weekly printed committee hearing schedules to them, which, as you all know, are due by close of business on Thursday evening, but usually the schedule is not correct anymore by Friday, Monday, or Tuesday, because as chairman realized, there may be somebody that they were counting on to testify for that bill. They are no longer available. We go in and update the schedule so it's correct online, but the printed product is no longer accurate. So that's just one of those things that continues to happen. Even the daily calendars, the 300 copies, I think the House still gets a copy every single morning on every member's desk, which is fine, which is great. You know that you have it on your laws calendar. We have it on the website. It's dynamic. It shows what the vote was, whether it passed. The interesting part is we've all seen those days where the calendar set that night before because Representative Vigasaw and whoever set it up. We print it. We put it on the website. But a lot of times, too, for whatever reason, you come in the next morning, another bill is now available. You throw it on that order, so the printed calendar isn't accurate either, and that's just the way it goes. We do update it on our HTML page. That is accurate, but we're just looking at ways to maybe continue to decrease cost. I think the best place where we're going to be able to decrease cost is central duplicating. Why? Because it's a state agency. They just do the chargeback. We're able to increase or decrease our printed products. The contract printer, we're really only able to increase something. Once we go out to bid and get the bids back, we're pretty much stuck with that amount. We can ask them to print more, but we can't ask them to print less. And that's the difficulty with the contract printer. And like I mentioned, obviously they have set costs. They got to hire the people. Most of these companies don't have that 2 to 3 staff that print our product, drop it off, and pick up bills every single day. With central duplicating, if we can decrease more and more of that printing, I think we're going to be able to save there as well.
So, print on demand going to work?
It's not any cheaper, I can tell you that, but it does work. We have had to do it many times before. We might have ran out of a bill. And it's kind of crazy. You go, this isn't even a contentious bill. Why did we run out of it? Well, here we realized that there was 3 tour groups, and they all picked the same bill, and that's why we ran out. So we had to quickly print in the bill and journal room. You know, and the reason for bringing this up, if we continue, and I guess maybe John could help develop a motion that we could entertain or you could entertain or whatever else, but really the key here is we want to make the public have copies available, get that. We want to maybe be able to just have less waste, watch our costs as we go forward. You know, the assembly budget's a tough one to cut because a lot of it's just operational costs with pay and health insurance. So anything that we can do, like session printing, I think would benefit. And I'd rather throw a lot less away. I mean, when you look at just bills and resolutions, we went from 165 in 2013, throwing away 67, to 100 copies, and we're still throwing away 43. So obviously people are making the conversion to electronic, and that's a great thing. But print on demand is not any cheaper, but obviously you may get a constituent and says, well, geez, I had to wait 3 minutes for a copy of a journal. Well, okay, that's valid, and maybe it isn't the best thing in the public's eyes, but definitely a way that we can try to decrease some costs, less throwing away. If we decrease contract printer, I really don't think that we're going to see a huge change around that $60,000 mark, because you can see in 2013, basically all they did is increase the cost per page to cover their said expenses. But
have we got the printer capability here? Have
yes.
We got the printers? I mean, there's a cost to those as well.
Yep. We actually just went out and signed a purchase order for our session printers that we lease. Because as you know, it really wouldn't make sense for us to buy copiers in your small MFPs, your multi-functional printers, and then they would sit there for the 18 months in between. If they don't use them, they break. It's just kind of the nature of the beast. But what we actually did is we renegotiated with Fireside, and we're actually going to go down $566 a month. So that's a good thing we're saving there.
So your recommendation would be what?
Well, maybe Mr. Bjornson can help state it, but basically I think the intent would be to direct the Legislative Council to continue to try to decrease copies, and maybe notify agencies that we're no longer going to provide daily and weekly committee hearing schedules to them. I mean, they have the exact same things on their website, more accurate. One of the agencies told me, I said, well, why don't you just print these or distribute them electronically, send the link? And they said, well, we like the colored paper. So.
Interesting. Do we need a motion of any kind for this? I think I think we all understand where this should be going. I don't know if we need a motion for it.
Mr. Chairman, we don't need a motion. If we would like a little directive from you or a consensus that we could go ahead and notify agencies that they should make use of our electronic additions that our staff has made and made available to them, and that we will not print as many documents, and that we would have the right to limit their ability to grab large quantities of documents when they can look at them online.
My concern more is that the public can get the information than it is the agencies. They can go out and grab it. If they don't, they're just not doing their job. But the public, if they need to know what a hearing is, we want to make sure they have the ability to get that information. And it sounds to me like that we could either print it for them or they can also pull it up off of the internet. So I think that I think even in 2 years things have progressed so much more. You're going to see a lot more people using the electronic method of getting their information than even last time. But I do understand the fixed cost of the printer. I mean, he's got to set things up, and it's going to cost him X amount of dollars just to provide the service for us. So I don't see that that's a big savings there.
And we're not going to go to zero on these, but I just think 1,000 of each, you know, we may be able to save some money there.
Well, what kind of, is there any disagreement with that? I don't think we need a motion to that effect. I think that's just the direction we should go.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Jason, so just so I'm clear, the contract printer, that is for all of the photocopier and printers that we use in the bill room and then in the House and the Senate chambers?
No, the contract printer, Mr. Chairman, Representative Mock, the contract printer is the printer that we go out for bid after this meeting. I just wanted to make sure that we had the ability to decrease some of these numbers.
Yep.
You understood why, and that's usually like quality or whoever that gets the contract.
So then just for informational purposes, do you know about how much it costs per black and white copy for our in-house printers in the bill room for the print on demand?
Oh.
What is it per page?
Yes, there's a set amount that we pay, and for all of the copiers that we are leasing this year, that's going to be $2,759 a month, okay? And that's to have all the machines here.
That's
and
for
then
all of them.
Each black and white is 1.5 cents, and each color print is 8 cents. So we did go down $566 a month because it was $3,325.
Yep.
More efficient way to do
absolutely.
It to me, so.
Right. And that's the $27.59 a month. That is for all of the copiers
all
and
of
machines.
Them. Okay. All of them and all consumables. That's staples, toner,
right.
Everything except paper.
Okay.
Which, you know, we couldn't buy these machines. You know, the two in the bill and journal room, each one of those machines is probably $45,000 to $50,000. So what they do is they get brand new machines for us. We lease them throughout the session. Afterwards, they turn around and sell them as used machines. Yeah, I think all of your clerks realize the new machines we had last year, we had a lot less issues with them. They seem to be very appreciative. The session before when we were leasing used machines with 120,000 clicks on each one. They were breaking constantly, you know, and obviously if they can't do their job, they're not supporting you.
That sounds good. And I think it's just a little message to our caucuses that you don't have to print off absolutely everything that you can pull up on your computer. And there are several people that we all know who they are that we should probably even talk a little more to because they get encyclopedia volumes and reams of paper running through there. So. But no names will be used. I think we got that handled, John.
Okay, thank
just
you,
before
Mr.
Just before Kyle, before you two guys go, just give us a 30-second tour of what this room can do for committee meetings we're here. I mean, maybe we're sitting in here and we're going to run out of time pretty quick, but we have two facilities, and it looks to me like this would be an awful good place to have a hearing and a committee. So.
Kyle Forster, I'm the IT manager. This is an AB room, so this wall, we left it partway open for you guys to be able to walk through and go to the other rooms, but this wall could be closed up where you could have a meeting here and another meeting over there. Each room has separate sound system, projectors, and screens, but if the wall is open and the room is combined, then all the projectors and the sound systems would be combined. Each half of the room we have set up for 20 microphones, and we have a portable sound rack here that is going to get shorter. That's going to get replaced and get. Yeah, that's a necessity to run the sound system because the rooms are portable, so we can move them around. As you know, courts also has this space, and then there's another committee room right over here that has all the same equipment. Courts did put in polycoms, so this other half of this room does have polycom, and also the. Video. So if you want to do video conferencing.
Conference,
yes, correct. Right. And Legislative Council and Legislative Assembly, also we have two portable video conference units, polycom units, that have been used through a few of the committees, the interim committees this session in Harvest and Rough Rider room. So, but yeah, the rooms themselves, there are CO2 sensors in here, so if there gets too much CO2 in the room, it automatically brings fresh air in. All the
there's a lot of hot air in your room.
all the heat handlers and the cooling are all in the hallway to try and keep the rooms quiet. So, and basically, we have multiple settings on the lights, and everything's automatic.
This will seat what 18 on the table?
I think we're set up now here. Yes.
The one next door?
It's the same.
Same size?
Yep. So but it's so that side is a little larger, so yeah. We could actually set up more tables there.
Okay.
But we have set up for 40 microphones is what we're set up for in this room.
Very good. Thank you, Kyle. The Also regarding secretarial services, we've got to move along here. We've got to go to budget section pretty quick.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this is something that you approve each interim. It basically says that we have an outside service that provides secretarial services. They'll be located at the Bill and Journal Room. They're available 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily. If you bring something in, it's a 24-hour turnaround. Fridays, generally, if it's in before noon, you're expected to get it back by 5 p.m. They will not do transcripts from committee hearings unless there's approval from leadership to do that. That's unless you have questions. I'll stop there, Mr. Chairman.
There's no motion required in that, or is
there? I'd like that to be approved, please.
All right. Is there a motion to approve this?
Second.
Holmberg's in a second by Senator Klein.
Representatives Carlson?
Yes.
Belter?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Onstead?
Yes.
Bigassaw?
Yes.
Senators Wardner?
Yes.
Herbley?
Yes.
Heckerman?
Yes.
Holmberg?
Yes.
Klein?
Aye.
Wardner?
The consideration of addition of electronic device charging station.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the Office of Management and Budget was approached by a organization that offered to provide an electronic recharging station for your phones or other electronic devices. The request was to use Memorial Hall for that. As you know, you have a policy that says you have to approve any such thing. It was suggested that maybe there would be a better place for it, and I believe somebody's here to address any questions if you have any, but if they want to do it in Memorial Hall, they need your approval.
Well, my suggestion was not Memorial Hall when they called me. It was in the lunchroom or wherever to have some charging stations. It's a good idea because everybody's carrying all these devices. But we've been pretty protective of the Great Hall, and I still believe that that should be, because if they wanted to put a little sign that says sponsored by your local electric cooperative, I don't want that in the Great Hall. But you guys have to make that decision. But my advice to them was to move it down to like the lunchroom and have charging stations down there. So if you want to charge your stuff, you can. Any comments, thoughts?
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Representative Mock.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I don't disagree at all. I guess the question is the intent to be used for all members of the public? Is it geared towards legislators, staff, and lobbyists? I presume that anyone could use it, but I guess I was thinking, if your cell phone is dead and you're charging it, you're probably going to want to be somewhere within eyes, somewhere within range if you're leaving your device unattended for a while, and that might determine where is the most
different than an airport.
Right.
You better not be leaving it, or it's not going to be yours by
law. Yeah, that's exactly right. Just Zach Smith, North Dakota Association of Rural Electric Cooperatives. Yeah, the idea was anybody. I suggested the Great Hall simply for the fact that foot traffic, congregation, that kind of thing, but obviously it's at your guys' pleasure. Whatever you guys would like is fine. But really, honestly, it's to save myself. I think you all know my sister does the same line of work. I think I've lost 4 or 5 phone charger cords to her, so I'd rather we just have the station. I point her that way, and I don't have to lose any more cords. So.
Well, but I Representative Belter? You don't have to start that.
No, just plug straight into the wall, whatever the capital's using.
There'll be one windmill right above them in the hot air in this building, keeping the wind turbine spinning.
And be CO2 generated, Mr. Chairman. CO2 powered. Mr. Smith, Zach, how large of a unit are you looking at? Is it
like a high top table? Just okay. Like I know the Bismarck Airport one has one that's similar. A lot of times at conferences, I don't know, you all go to, probably right. They're sitting in the back somewhere outside of the conference hall. Same kind of deal, just a high top table with a few cords underneath the table. Okay. Where you put your phone in.
And I presume you have the multiple adapters and,
yep.
And about how many units could you charge at any given moment?
I think the one we have is 4.
Okay.
Four little stations. Each one has cords for
sure.
Different types of devices, so potentially more, but yeah.
Well, I mean, I hope that, Mr. Chairman, I hope that we can find a place, but I think it's a wonderful proposal, and thank you for even considering it. I think we all understand what it's like to lose have your device battery die by mid-afternoon.
Well, I think that we could leave it up to the that the Great Hall is off limits, but if the building and grounds people want to work with, whether there be some down in the lower hallway where there's a spot where it doesn't congest traffic, or down in the lunchroom, we'll let those guys, at least my opinion, we let them work it out. We don't need to micromanage that. But not in the Great Hall. I think that's like having everybody hanging an advertising banner up there saying that this is what we're selling today, and that's not what the Great Hall's for. So if we could just get a motion to allow that to happen and then let building and grounds decide where it goes, or the building management, whatever you call those guys.
Facility management, yeah.
Yeah, and they decide except the location is off limits at the Great Hall.
So,
Senator Heckerman made the motion. Representative Mock second. All those, let's just take a vote.
Okay. Representatives Carlson,
yes.
Belter,
yes.
Mock,
yes.
Onstead,
yes.
Vigasa,
yes.
Senators Wardner,
yes.
Herbele,
yes.
Heckerman,
yes.
Holmberg,
yes.
Klein,
aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
Legislative rules.
Mr. Chairman, there's just one rule proposal in front of you, and that relates to the legislative employees. At the last meeting, you approved the number of employees. This rule change would just make the numbers in the rules coincide with what is in the document that you approved last meeting.
And that just takes out the little bit of language on the kiosk and the employment committee and that stuff.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. The language on the kiosk was from several years ago, so we just cleaned that up to reflect current practice.
And the parking lot attendant would be to reflect current practice?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Page one, just to clarify, assistant committee clerk has been changed from 1 to 3.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mock, that's correct. That's what was approved at the last meeting. I believe that was the number that was I think there were 2 or 3 last session, and the rule was not changed to reflect that after that change had been made.
Okay. And I presume those are the ones that are controlling the cameras and other, is that a different position?
That's a
committee
position.
Clerk, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's one of those things that we had to make an adjustment for as we went along because we didn't have it in there.
That's correct,
okay.
Mr. Chairman.
I have a motion to approve.
Yes.
Second. Well, I do have a motion and a second already.
Yeah.
You guys are moving past the time. All right, we'll take the vote.
Representatives Carlson.
Yes.
Belter.
Yes.
Mock.
Yes.
Onstead.
Yes.
Vigasa.
Yes.
Senators Wardner.
Yes.
Herbele. Heckerman,
yes.
Holmberg, Klein,
aye.
Schneider.
Yes.
All right, we've got 2 items left, addresses and session schedule and deadlines, and naming and use of legislative committee rooms. I think we've got 10 minutes to go here before we got to be upstairs, so we'll try and get those handled.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, at the last meeting there was a request for us to take a look at options to save some days during the legislative session. What we did is put together, you know, this schedule of legislative deadlines that you had approved earlier. And on that schedule, I think I just gave somebody my copy too, so sorry. Jim. What we did is we, if you look, thank you, we designated January 4th and January 5th, Wednesday and Thursday, as no floor session days. If your committees could have their organizational and their first meetings. So January 3rd, you would begin with the regular convening of the session. You would have the State of the State address. Wednesday and Thursday, no floor sessions. Committees meet, get their organizational items out of the way, and start conducting business. Friday would be another business day, another legislative day. This would be the second legislative day.
We would combine that day for the State of the Judiciary Address and the State of the Tribal-State Relationship Address. The rest of the deadlines would fall on the same days, but your bill introduction deadline would remain the first Monday for the House members when you can't introduce more than five bills. So it'd only be the third legislative day. The second Monday would be the 8th, and so on. So,
but that's actually the same number of days being here, it's just that we didn't gavel in.
Just that you didn't gavel in, correct, Mr. Chairman. Crossover would be the 37th day. That would be Friday, February 24th. What it would do at the end, at the bottom there, is the 80th legislative day would then be April 28th if no other days were taken off. So that would move that back from the 26th to the 28th. So what we did, Mr. Chairman, was try to save you 2 days where you could work in that first week to get some of the organizational business and committee work moving without you gaveling in.
Quite obviously, I like that because I think that those days were just gone and didn't get anything accomplished. So I'm supportive of this. And we would have to, the rest of the deadlines are just pretty much standard. And if you remember, a couple of years ago, we changed all those deadlines because we were working off a 60-day session schedule instead of 80, and we never changed it. When we moved to 60 to 80 days, we left everything the same as the 60. And everybody's wondering, why are we so damn squeezed in the front? Well, we're not anymore. But no matter when we have these, somebody's going to think it's too soon for crossover business.
Mr. Chairman, do you contemplate with this schedule that, for example, on the 4th, that the Judiciary Committee meets 8 hours, or do you have the morning for A Committee and the afternoon for B? In other words, do you divide them up so that the A Committees can meet on both Wednesday, Thursday, and the B Committees can meet Wednesday, Thursday, so they can actually get something done?
That is a great suggestion to do that, and there's nothing that says we can't do that. Because I think the key is to get them organized and get them going instead of just having a whole first work week be worthless. That's a good idea.
And that can be done. I mean, yep. We don't have to do anything to this schedule.
No, but I mean, that makes a lot of sense to do it that way. Because the key is to get them busy and get them going. And
I can't see Ag Committee.
There's bills introduced that are pre-introduced and filed by agencies that can be keeping those committees busy. So I like that idea. John, did you make a note of that to see how that would work out?
Yes, I did, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any other questions on the schedule?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess I just question. To me, I've never thought that it's a committee problem that we get to a slow start. It's all the fanfare on the House floor that slows us up.
Yeah, you don't do any voting. You just sit there and listen to speeches. That's why we tried to make sure that we did those, combine things up, and then to make sure we're not gabbling in and get those committees rolling. I think, yes.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the only other question I'd have is with that Wednesday and Thursday, we would have staff working, and that would be a motion that would be made on the floor to ensure that those staff, the legislative staff, were paid for those days, because otherwise they would only be compensated on legislative days. Is that correct?
Yes, and we've made that motion before.
Right.
Other days where we've had storm days or we've had days where we didn't gavel in last time.
Correct.
We make that same motion and we do pay.
Again, that's nothing that we need to change here,
no,
but that's just something that we need to be prepared for. Okay.
So I need a motion to approve the schedule.
So moved.
A motion by Senator Holmberg. Is there a second?
Second.
Representative Bigassaw.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Snyder.
Has anybody reached out to our friends, the leaders of the tribes, about having their address the same day as the judiciary?
Well,
we have about 45 seconds here left to beat.
Yeah, but we can do morning and afternoon. We'll reach out to them and explain to them the schedule, what it's going to be. I mean, we need to consolidate these. That, you know, we could have easily, this has not ever been anything that we've had to do. It's been legislature reaching out to the tribes and putting them in our schedule and saying we'd like to hear what you have to say. We could have them meet down in the Bren Hill room if we wanted. But we're allowing them the opportunity to continue the tradition, but do one morning, one afternoon. And we'll reach out to them and tell them what the schedule is. They'll have the same audience that they always had. Instead of having half a day where we did nothing, we'll have it that way.
Mr.
And then one other piece of note, and I don't know, I imagine Alan is already on top of this. He's a stand-up guy. But because we are extending the session in theory by 2 days for compensation purposes for all staff, I imagine he's adjusting his budget so that it reflects, if we were to go 80 days, how much we would need to adjust for those 2 days that we're working but not gaveling in. I noticed he's not here, but that might be a note we just want to double check as we're submitting the legislative budget to the governor's office.
We always budget for X amount of days anyway.
I believe it's 75.
77.
77.
Any other discussion? And we will reach out as well.
Mr. Chairman, so on January 4th and January 5th, we're setting aside a full day just for committee meeting?
They can be A and B. They can be A and B.
A's will be in the morning, B's in the afternoon.
Otherwise, the way you're set up, you only ever get 1 day of an A meeting when you're going during that week. Now you can have those 2 days so that they get 2 of their 3 days as you get going.
Okay. Is there going to be hearings then on those days?
There can be, and it'll be a regular
schedule. Okay. That makes sense. All right.
Yep. That's a great idea to do it that way, because then we don't, otherwise they come in and meet and go home and they don't meet till the next week again.
I had a person, Mr. Chairman, next to me who said one of the committees could be done with 8 hours of hearings on the second day.
Yeah, we're having a little concern about that ourselves. Any other discussion, Senator Snyder, anymore? All right. Take the vote.
Mr. Chairman, would this motion include a directive to us to revise the appropriate rules for, that it says the submission of bills, well, submission of bills is on the, or the first deadline is the fifth legislative day. It'll be have to be changed to the third. Those types of changes. Okay, thank you.
That's reflected on here, but you have to change the rules to reflect
it. Correct. Right. All right. Representative Carlson?
Yes.
Belter?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Onstead?
Yes.
Vigasaw?
Yes.
Senators Wardner?
Yes.
Herbele?
Yes.
Heckerman?
Yes.
Holmberg?
Yes.
Klein?
Aye.
Schneider?
No.
Motion carried.
All right, the last item, naming and use the new legislative committee rooms. Could we postpone that and get up to our hearing?
Oh, Alan isn't here. One of the issues is that they have to be named at some point so that, for example, people who publish, what do you call that group?
The motor carriers.
Motor carriers, et cetera, they would like to know. I mean, we don't have time today, but when would we?
Can we have, could that decision be made this afternoon when we meet that with our management committee? Why
could
we not do that?
Oh, yeah. But we can add to the agenda.
Okay, let's add to the management. I mean, naming is...
Yes.
Okay.
There is one that I know of.
I've got one for you.
Fighting Sue?
No.
Oh.
What's initial thoughts on which committee would be? Do you have a lot of rumors on this? Have you had that discussion? We haven't either. But these are big rooms, and obviously we have the same committees. So we've got to figure out what we're going to do with our committee. We're not sure what the
hodgepodge. You pig!
I think you got to combine those two or do something. Yeah, there's something we need to do there. But.
Mr. Chairman, the last item is for you to direct us to prepare a report.
So moved.
Second. Well, that's it. You prepare the report. We have a motion and a second to prepare the report. We'll take the roll.
Representative Carlson?
Yes.
Belter?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Onstead?
Yes.
Vigasaw?
Yes.
Senators Wardner?
Yes.
Herbele? Heckerman?
Yes.
Holmberg?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Schneider?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Chairman, do you take these with us?
No.
No, I think they have experts for you out here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And we, Senator, if you don't mind, this afternoon.
No.
Naming.
Well, I don't know.
It's not a big deal, but We'll just leave that to the management. I don't need to come to that. I'd be up if you don't mind. I mean, I would rather.
Because at the end of the day, management would have to approve what this committee did anyway.
Yeah. So we're just bystepping one to turning it up.
What was Representative Vegas on?
Oh, he thought Cheyenne, and I had Coteau.
Yeah, we had Cheyenne on the list.
Maybe I told him.
I like Coteau as well.
I like Coteau.
Yeah. Most people should, if they had a little bit of geography, would know what that was.
Yeah. Fighting Sioux.
This morning's meeting here.
Jackson, where's the map? Where's the map to get out of here?
He did it, Carol.
That's a discussion, like I said.
They're still sitting right here.
If we don't make a decision now, they're going to make choices on committee selection.
I suppose you guys can all use the same, you don't want a separate voucher for this, right?
No, we can use the one. We just put on the other voucher.
Yeah.
Just going to give those maps to Jim for Elixir Management, then?
Yeah, might as well.
Judging everybody.
Did it work out?
Did Carl even have his mic on?
No. Well, mine was so close to him. Jeez. I know. Just a pile of paper here.
I need more room.
Carlson turned his mic on once.
No, I don't think so.
Are they on now?
No. That was funny. All of a sudden, they're making motions and you're flipping through paper. They're like, dude.